Welcome to the Gifted to Give podcast. I am Brother Gian. If you're new to podcasting, you're in the right place. I can't wait to share to all of you how wonderful God is as we celebrate the 500 years of Christianity in the Philippines. Good day, listeners. We have once again Monsignor Achilles Dacay as he will preach and teach to us the good news of the gospel for this Sunday,
September 26, 2021.
We have a great number of listeners, downloads, and interactions. We at Gifted to Give podcast would like to thank everyone for their support. And now, without further ado, please join us in welcoming Monsignor Achilles Dacay.
Good morning to all of you, wherever you may be. And at once, I say most sincerely, thank you all for all your prayers, individual or collective, for the eternal repose of my loving and lovable sisters, Faye and Penelope. Thank you very much for your most comforting and consoling presence at every Requiem Mass we are celebrating online. With parents gone, with brothers and sisters gone home, I am left alone. But my prayer is not anymore, Lord, make me young. But at 87 going 88, my prayer is, Lord, keep me moving. Saint Paul has prayed in you, Lord, we live, we move, and have our being. So, I'm not paralyzed, I'm not petrified, I'm not past, I'm still present, thank God. And so here I am, present with you, and moving from this Friday to next Sunday with our Bible study online. We are still within the cycle B. And of course, our gospel that we are about to study is according to St. Mark chapter 9. The chapter 9 of St. Mark is rather long, but we are reading the last verses of chapter 9. But again, I say that we are trying also to read and reflect the cycle A gospel according to Matthew chapter 21, as well as the cycle C gospel according to St. Luke chapter 16 together, because I have been saying I see a point of convergence of the three, which is worth highlighting. And so, before we ask Sister Julian to read for us the gospel for next Sunday, the 26th Sunday in ordinary time, let us first pray. Almighty Father, send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may read with faith your word, reflect on it with hope, and realize it with love, following your only begotten Son, from whom we find freedom, fulfillment, and the future with you forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, we are seated in our chairs in our corners and still studying, trying to understand what Jesus has been saying. And it is our duty and our salvation to hear Him and keep what He has said. The Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 9 will now be read by Sister Jillian.
At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched."
Thank you very much, Sister Jillian. As you have heard, there are three groups of sayings of Jesus. The first group, when Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever is not against us is with us or is for us." And the second group, when he says, "Whoever gives you a cup of water in my name, because you are my disciples, will receive the same award as you." But now, we are focusing our reflection on the third group of sayings, all about sinning. We ask, therefore, three simple questions. First, when does one commit a sin? Second, how does one cause another to commit a sin? And the third is, how does one commit a sin of omission? So these are the three questions, simple questions that we ask now, and we try to answer with the help of what Jesus precisely has said in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let us begin with Mark, with Matthew. In his chapter 21. In chapter 21, Matthew recorded the parable of the two sons. Jesus said that there was a father who commanded his two sons. First, he said to the elder son, "Son, go out and work in my vineyard." And he said, "No." And yet he went. But the second was asked the same question, or the same command, "Son, go out and work in my vineyard." And he said, "Yes, I go." but he did not go. So who of the two did not follow, did not obey the command of the Father? The second one, who said yes, and yet he does not go. That is how sin is committed. We have, for example, the Ten Commandments of God. We may say yes when we were baptized, but now we are not behaving accordingly. Sin, therefore, is committed when one does not do the will of the Father, as expressed in His commands. The parables of Jesus somewhere else, the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, are precisely descriptions of how one commits a sin. How does a sheep get lost? A sheep gets lost when it strays away from the flock because of greed. It has found something to eat and he eats it all by himself, does not invite others. And he keeps on eating and eating and eating until it falls off the cliff. That is one way of sinning, straying away from the flock. How does a coin get lost? When it falls out of the bag to the ground. We do not know why. Maybe they say because the bag was not imported, so it has many holes in it. So the coin gets dropped and down trodden on the floor. So that is one, another way of sinning. And the third, when the prodigal son got all his money, inheritance, and went away, separating himself from home, alienating himself from the father, that is how sin is committed. So three ways of committing a sin. Now, we have already seen or read and reflected on that gospel when Jesus precisely enumerated 13 sins that make one unclean. We precisely picked up on the biggest of them all, which is arrogance. Arrogance, the disdainful pride. So any of the 13 sins one may commit. The next question we answer is, how does one cause another person, especially the young ones, how do they commit a sin? Every thought of ours, every word and every action may tempt another person to commit a sin if they are not good thoughts and good words and good actions. Jesus says, do not give scandal to others. Do not make them commit a sin. He also said, this is a graver sin. Do not take scandal for yourselves. If you're handling money, for example, so much money, and this money may tempt you to steal, to cheat, etc., then stop it. Or if your eyes, if you have been seeing false and foul sights with X-rated movies, etc., stop it. Or if you have been walking with bad friends into dark and dangerous places where temptations are like photographs developed in the dark, then stop it. These two sins, to give scandal and to take scandal, are grave sins that deserve very grave punishments. So the third gospel we now read and reflect on, the parable of the rich man and the poor beggar Lazarus. In the parable, we are told that the rich man, he was rich because he was working hard. He was not a dishonest rich man. He became rich because he was industrious, etc. But the problem is, there was this poor man, Lazarus, that people placed at the doorstep of this rich man. Now, this rich man, day after day, would not hurt him. He does not hurt the poor. The rich man does not help the poor. The rich man does nothing to and for the poor. That is omission. And that is his sin, the sin of omission. At the very beginning of every Mass, remember, after the presider says, "Let us acknowledge our sins," then there is a brief pause for silent reflection. After that, each one of us says, "I confess that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts, in my words, in what I have done, and in what I have failed to do." And this is what the rich man committed, the sin of omission. When Jesus would say at the end of time, at the final judgment, "I was hungry, and you goats, you did not feed me," that's a sin of omission. So when Jesus would say, "I was hungry, homeless, naked, sick, and prisoner," when you omitted to perform a work of mercy, you are sinning by omission. And why? Because you did not see me in them. You do not see Jesus in the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless, the naked, the sick, and the poor. So this is how it is. So the point of convergence is all about sinning, I repeat. When does one commit a sin? How does one cause another to sin? And how does one commit a sin of omission? That's the teaching that we try to study and learn from these synoptic gospels, ABC, from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I know some people would not like to talk about sin, just as we would not like to talk about death. But I'm sure there are many questions that you may ask about sin, forgiveness, omission, commission, sin, absolved from this and from that. So here I pause for your questions. I'm sure you have questions about this, but I have tried to mention that the sins, the 13 sins enumerated by Jesus, and the capital sins of unchastity, covetousness, lust, anger, envy, blasphemy, and sloth, the seven capital sins that can be sources of other sins. So it's good for us to know what sin is all about, so that when we ask for forgiveness, we would know what we are forgiven for. So here, I pause for some of your reflections and questions.
Good morning, Monsignor.
Good morning.
And once more, our sympathy and prayers.
Thank you.
This Friday, we have studied the Sunday Gospel about sin. May I ask, Monsignor, are our sins forgiven at every Mass we attend?
Okay. When we attend a Mass, at the very beginning, the presider, the main celebrant, invites us all to acknowledge our sins. At the end of that, he says, "May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins." So you ask whether that will forgive us our sins. No. What we hope for at Mass is that the sinner may go to confession and God will forgive him. So we are just wishing that the sinners have the humility to go to confession and hear the priest. You know, many of those who go to confession may not hear exactly what the priest is saying at the end of the confession. How does the priest absolve? It's like this, you see. What we say inside the confessional box is this: God, the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of His Son, has reconciled the world to Himself and sent the Holy Spirit upon us for the forgiveness of sins. And through the ministry of the Church, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Spirit. And may God give you pardon and peace. So, sins are forgiven in the sacrament of penance. But we, outside the confessional box at Mass especially, we try to encourage ourselves to be disposed that we be sorry for our sins and then be humble enough to confess them. So at Mass, I repeat, we are only reminded that there is the sacrament of confession. Now, there are some people who suggest that at Mass, while the presider is celebrating the Mass, another priest should stay in the confessional box. But no. Mass is Mass, confession is confession, so we find time for Mass as we find time for confession. So that's that. That's why it has been mandated in this archdiocese that all priests should schedule an hour, a few minutes for confession before the Mass, but not during the Mass, so that people would have the opportunity to get reconciled and be forgiven.
Good AM, Mons.
Good morning.
When is general absolution given?
Okay. The absolution from sin is given at the administration of the sacrament of penance. In cases of emergency, For example, when a group, when a troop of soldiers are about to go out to war, to a battle, and no individual confession is possible, the priest can give them absolution. Absolution. Forgiveness is God's gift to give. Forgiveness. But the priest may absolve them from their sins under one condition, that after that general absolution, he or she must find the soonest time to go to individual confession. And he or she cannot receive another general absolution without first going to that individual personal confession. So that's general absolution. It's not general forgiveness. It's general absolution. Only God forgives.
Good morning, Mars.
Good morning.
I have a question. Again, what is the sin against the Holy Spirit? Why is it not forgiven?
Okay, this has been asked many, many times. The sin of presumption. When a sinner believes that his sin is so big that even God, in His mercy, cannot forgive it. But that is not true, because God is merciful and His mercy is unlimited. So to limit the mercifulness, the mercy of God to forgive, is presumption on the part of man. Our sins may be big and big and big, but it is always forgivable by God, as long as you also trust that God has the power to forgive all sins. So that is what we call sin against the Holy Spirit. When you presume that your sin is too big for God to forgive you. But God forgives any sin, however big.
Monsignor, what are considered sins against the Holy Spirit?
As I said, it does not specify which sin. But you see, when you sin, either those 13 sins that make us unclean, or those capital sins, if you think that what you have committed as a sin of commission or omission, if you think that it is so big and you believe that God, the Holy Spirit, the Church cannot forgive it, then you are presuming, you are limiting God's mercy and compassion. So the sin against the Holy Spirit is precisely that. It has no name, I would say. But if you just think and you believe firmly, you presume that your sin is too big, stop it, because God is merciful and His mercy has no limits.
Today I learned that I can't take the sin of omission for granted. All these years, I thought of the sin of omission lightly. I am sad to think of the many omissions I have done in my life.
That's true. Sin of commission and the sins of omission are just grave sins. this parable of the rich man, tradition has named him Dives in Latin, rich, and the poor beggar named Lazarus, is a very good reminder for all of us that it has been our duty and our salvation, for example, to keep the Ten Commandments. But you know why we do not keep the Ten Commandments? Why do we disobey commandments? For lack of faith in God, whom we do not see. As has been explained somewhere, we are all like that taxi driver who at the crossroads looked around and he saw a big sign on one of the roads, "Do not enter." But as he looked around, he did not see a sitom or a policeman. And he drove inside. They do not enter. Long road. At the end of the long road, there was a policeman who stopped him and asked him, "Did you not see that big sign there, do not enter?" He said, "Yes, sir." "So why did you enter?" "Because I did not see you, sir." So you see, it's like that. We have the Ten Commandments memorized. Do not enter. Do not steal. Do not kill, etc. But if we have no faith in God whom we do not see, who has commanded us, you will miss the point. Therefore, what we need to do to obey the commandments is to love the commander. As we have said, of the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment is positive. Honor your father and your mother. The others are negative. Why this positive thing? Because it reminds us that if you want to obey the commands of your father and your mother, honor them, love them. So love is the reason why we obey. And Jesus has said that, "If you love me, you will keep my commands."
Good morning, Mons.
Good morning.
Why do other priests say that our venial sins are forgiven during Mass in the penitential rites and mortal sins in the sacrament of confession? Is this correct, Mons?
It's true. It's true and it's correct. Venial sins, precisely the word venia, is forgivable. These are sins that may be forgiven, can be forgiven at any sacrament that we receive, because grace will always be obtained through the sacraments. But mortal sins cannot be forgiven outside the confessional box. So at Mass, yes, as a sacrament, it may forgive our venial sins, but not our mortal sins, which can only be forgiven and absolved inside the confessional box, which now need not be confessional box, but across the table. You know what? The more you are known to the confessor as a penitent, a regular penitent, the better for you. It's good for you that the priest knows how you now stand before God. Because if you do not specify, for example, your sins, you said, "Ako, Padre, nangawat." That is one instance that you stole. But if you are akawatan, you have been many instances stealing. So you must say, whether you just still now and then, or you have as a vice, a habit of stealing.
If a person committed mortal sin on earth and didn't ask for forgiveness, can the prayers of his family and community after his death still save his soul from hell?
You see, as I have said, we really cannot judge how a person dies, because at the very last minute or second, God may have given him the grace to repent. And so we cannot really say that he goes down instead of going up. We cannot say that. Only the person can give an account of himself or herself, and only God can judge. Since we do not know where he goes, up or down, we pray. We pray to God that he be merciful to those who have died in his mercy. So if this person we know has been committing a mortal sin and has not gone to confession, and then he dies, be kind to him, because we do not really know whether he or she has been given that grace to repent at the last 2 minutes. Remember how the two thieves on the cross, one to his left did not repent, the one to his right did repent. And he said, we are being punished according to what we deserve because of what we have done. And so the good thief stole heaven at the last 2 minutes. I remember when Frank Sinatra, a Catholic Italian singer, when he died, the Cardinal of New York volunteered to say Mass for him. People were saying, wow, but Frank Sinatra is this and that, and he is a bad boy. But the Cardinal said, the more he needs help, the more we need help when we are dead that way. So don't let us judge, I repeat, let us be kind instead towards those who have died and we know in life have been sinful. But don't let us wait. Don't let us wait. We must watch. Remember the saying, huh? Many who plan to see God, to seek God at the 11th hour, they die at 10:30. So if they die at 10:30 without going to confession, etc., then we leave that to God, if he and God have been reconciled.
Monsignor, when we attend virtual Mass, and are we also supposed to observe the 1 hour Eucharistic fast?
Which one? Are we
also supposed to observe the 1 hour Eucharistic fast?
The Eucharistic fasting is required only when you actually receive Holy Communion. If you are attending a Mass online, then no communion possible. You can attend that without previous fasting. But I repeat, when we attend a Mass in church, in person, therefore, we must observe the 1 hour fasting from the last hungit to first to the act of communion. not at the beginning of Mass. That's why they say, Father, taas-taasa lang ang communion aron ma, o taas-taasa lang sermon aron ma, ma 1 hour na ang communion. That's not bad. No. Basta, let us try to be, you know, observant of what we are supposed to do. So I repeat, when you go to confession, you should try to hear the last words of the confessor when he absolves you, because there is a very theological teaching of forgiveness in that phrase, God of mercies, through the death and resurrection of His Son, has reconciled the world to Himself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of the Church, may God give you pardon and peace. I absolve you from your sins. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you should hear that, because that's a very theological teaching.
Can we ask forgiveness for a person who is in a comatose state?
Then, can...
Can we ask forgiveness to, for a person who is in a comatose state?
Yeah, because after all, the soul is never comatose. I think coma falls only on the body. So what we are praying for is not for the body, but for the soul. When we view the body with respect, because we know that the body has been a temple of the Holy Spirit, etc. But the soul is spiritual, and we are concerned about the state of the soul after death or even during the comatose period. And if the soul is in the hand of God, we leave that to God, where to place it, high or low. Cremating, therefore, a body, reducing it to dust or to ashes, should be done with respect. And so the ashes cannot be brought anywhere, not to the garden, not to the bedroom, but buried in the ground, as we have done with my two sisters. We have buried their urn of ashes in the ground, not in the nicho. That's returning to the dust from which you came. As we have been saying, when you visit a sick person, especially terminally ill, in hospital, if you take with you a basket of fruits, please, before you eat, say something about suffering, say something about repentance of sin, especially if your sickness is due to sin. We should not be afraid or ashamed to tell the truth that suffering is a result sometimes of sin.
Monsignor.
Yes.
Burial in a columbary is not advisable.
Where?
Columbary daw. Burial in a columbary is not advisable.
Oh, that's why I said the columbary is columba is dove. You know, the houses of the doves are like that, diba? This is called columbari. That's supposed to be where you place the bones. The bones, it's called also ossari, the bones of the dead person. Now that they are cremated, they are not bones anymore. So they are dust already. They are ashes. For me, it would be more significant to bury them on the ground.
Wow, that was an amazing talk given by Monsignor Achilles Dakai. We are so grateful for the Lord for sending Monsignor Dakai to share God's word to all of us. We would like to thank again Monsignor Achilles Dakai, and also to our heartfelt gratitude goes to all of you who joined, interacted, and asked a question for Monsignor Dakai. Hear more from Monsignor Dakai again next weekend. This is once again the Gifted to Give podcast for your ears only. I am Brother Gian signing off. Have a blessed Sunday to all, and to God be the glory.
You have just listened to the Gifted to Give podcast with your hosts, Brother Gian, Brother John, and Father Jojo. Catch our next episode. This episode of the Gifted to Give podcast was brought to you by our sponsors. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to our Facebook page at 500 Years of Christianity, Archdiocese of Cebu. If you love the Gifted to Give podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review everywhere you listen to your podcast. Till next time.